Listen up. This is Daniel Mayfield, Expedition Superintendent for the River Crawler Caravan. If you're hearing this, welcome. We've got some important business here in 82. Now, you may have heard of my folks at the Blue Ridge, or collectives up in the Commonwealth and Capital, or even down in the Crimson Caravan. I want to dispel some rumors. We are looking to trade across coasts, and we've collectively partnered up to make lasting settlements that connect the dots of travel. Make it easy for everybody. Everybody's still doing their own business, but if you're hearing this, you're now a contractor for the River Crawler Caravan. Here's Skinny. You're part of our Louisiana division. Now, Old Orleans is a big area out there, and we sent a scout party down before to get y'all in the steel rolling. They've given us some clearance and resources to set up a settlement. It's about a day's travel outside the city. Now, it's on you all to set up the settlement. Now, the RCC expects a few things out of this area. It's got to be a safe place to sleep. There's got to be digestible food and clean water. You all got to set up some trade routes with big areas down there. Like Old Orleans, Baton Rouge, you know. Management's going to go hands-off on this process, so get it done however you want. We'll be coming around in a few months to get progress update, and if all goes well, pay you in the amount of 10,000 caps or equivalent value. Send the location that's encoded on this tape. Alright? Got it? That's about it. Let's get this knocked out.
War. War never changes. When atomic fire consumed the Earth, those who survived did so in great underground vaults. When they opened, their inhabitants set out across ruins of the old world to build new societies, establish new villages, and form communities. Now, over 100 years after the bombs have fallen, humanity has redefined itself. In the southern Louisiana-Mississippi Delta, survivors cling to the empathy of past generations while dealing with the strife of the post-nuclear world. The wasteland of the Big Easy is a harsh place filled with dangerous mutated creatures and inhospitable deadly land. Its frontier has brought about new settlements that struggle to cope with the reality of the New World Order. New Orleans was once a great gem of Southern culture, but the Great Flood turned the streets of music and dance into a radioactive nightmare. Pre- and post-war citizens have banded together to recede the waters and bring back the spirit of the old world, deeming the city Old Orleans. All are welcome in this great city of the South, but new tensions are rising. Meanwhile, across the continent, trader caravans have brokered a deal to connect the East and West coasts. They agreed on a neutral caravan that would establish trade routes that followed the resilient rivers of America and connected the great settlements and nations of the post-war world. The newly founded River Crawler Caravan now sets its sights on Old Orleans, which could be the centerpiece of their great mission.
Through the tangled mess of trees, you hear a light purr of an electrical generator. Beyond the exposed root systems and Spanish moss of the old forest, there's a clearing. You spot a rather large firefly land on the reeds of the slightly damp forest floor. In the center, you spy a metal building from the old war with a huge iron radio tower that's being supported by sturdy vines and makeshift scrap. This clearing seems like a natural fort that nature has protected and allowed growth from within. The smell of damp puddles and dead leaves permeates this air, bringing with it a sense of wild and peace. You spy a door sealed tightly with an intercom directly beside it. The first one to arrive to this area is Jared. Jared, why don't you introduce your character to the group?
Sure. So I will be playing Lonnie Haybear, who is a new recruit with the Brotherhood of Steel. Lonnie is a native to Old Orleans and began their journey with the Brotherhood of Steel as sort of a volunteer slash Corps of Engineers type partnership. So That's Lonnie, at least at a high level right now. I'm sure we'll learn more about him as we progress.
What does Lonnie kind of look like?
Lonnie is... I didn't mean for this to rhyme, but Lonnie is scrawny. Lonnie is sort of a maybe an average height for a post-nuclear war male. I imagine that's probably similar to a non-post-nuclear war male, so maybe 5'6", 5'7". On the low side, as far as his frame goes, certainly looks like he's missed quite a few meals, almost malnourished in a way. He looks a bit younger. Like, if he's got any beard or mustache, it's just like this scraggle that he probably likes to try to keep shaved just so he doesn't embarrass himself, because he probably can't grow facial hair that great at all. But he's definitely lived a hard, 20 or so years.
So you approach this door, this building out in this clearing. You see the little intercom beside it. So what does your character do?
Probably Lonnie is going to recall what type of orders maybe that the Brotherhood of Steel gave him that would prompt him to go to this location, because it would be unusual for him to be out of the city, because the city is sort of safe for him, and that's sort of where his home has been. So I'm imagining that Brotherhood of Steel had him up to something, so I'm probably going to try to recall my orders and figure out what it is I'm supposed to be doing here.
So the Paladin of the Brotherhood of Steel for New Orleans has sent Lonnie to kind of almost be a liaison and work for the River Crawler Caravan, which is a kind of a new age caravan movement that is happening throughout the United States. The Brotherhood is kind of looking for more of a foot in the door. Recent relations with the city have kind of been soured. So Lonnie is kind of going outside of the Brotherhood and acting as somebody that's out and about and is trying to set up kind of a collaborative effort of building a settlement in a little area for the River Crawler Caravan, but also kind of being the man on the inside for the Brotherhood of Steel.
I see. So is this communications relay, is it a place that was known by the Brotherhood of Steel and we were told this is where we need to meet, or is this sort of a serendipitous discovery?
This is a place that you were told to meet. Everyone was told to meet at this location.
Okay. Probably I'm just going to try to peek in through windows and see if there's anyone there, make myself noticeable. Especially so I don't want any surprises.
Yeah, so. I understand. Do a difficulty zero perception plus sneak.
My perception is a 6, my sneak is a 0, so I'm just gonna roll straight perception, it sounds like.
Most of your stuff is going to be difficulty zero, generate. You need to generate. Everybody needs to generate some AP. We're going to get some AP up in here.
I did not generate any AP. I no successes.
No successes. So no success. You go. you go to Lonnie is arrived. Is kind of trying to walk around. And the land is a little bit unstable, and you actually get some water in your left boot. And that's pretty uncomfortable. And you're like trying to look in the window, but there's like a puddle right there and you're just not having it. You can't really see anything, unfortunately. As you're kind of peeking in the window, Michael, why don't you introduce your character to the group?
Okay, so Pep Hackett, he's a young, early 20s. He's from a settlement built around the old Indianapolis 500 racetrack up in Indiana. So he comes from a settlement culture that is all based around racing and cars, which in this Fallout tabletop version, there are working vehicles. So that is a major part of his sort of background. Visually, he's a, like I said, he's like early 20s. He's a very muscular guy, very broad-shouldered. Very sort of rockabilly look, to him. He's got the Fallout pompadour, also sweet mutton chops. Looks maybe first appearance, maybe looks a little bit like a hayseed, looks maybe like a naive kind of young guy, but he looks like also he's an ox. And so he is from his settlement. They have a part of their culture is called a road trip, where young people are sent out into the world on a road trip to learn new skills and bring them back to the settlement. And Pep is on his road trip.
Very nice. So you run up on the same scene of this kind of communications tower out there, but you see this kind of like scrawny guy. It looks a little bit like he's stuck, but you're not quite sure from the distance. So you roll up on this group. What do you do?
I'm going to holler out to this poor skinny fellow and ask him if he needs some help, because he looks like he's in some sort of dire strait.
No, I'm fine. It's just I found water a little too early, is all. That's all.
Yeah, so there's a lot of water around here. Kind of easy to find, but good for you. Good for you.
Thanks.
So you live around here? You just hanging out?
Oh, yeah. I'm from Own Islands. Born and raised. Well, raised. Maybe born.
Man of mystery you are. I like it.
Well, I... Maybe one day I'll solve it too.
The break in the conversation happens as Cody, your character. Why don't you introduce your character?
My character's name's Clark. Clark has had not such a great life. His family was killed pretty early on. He was traded on to slavers, and there ended up working for a mercenary company for some time. Decided that get out of that job at a time when most of the company that he was working for, his fellow mercenaries, had been murdered off, and decided he wanted to live for a little while longer. So he started guarding caravans, because killing people was about the only thing that he knew how to do really well. He traveled with caravans for some time before he got wind of this new caravan company that was heading to down to Mississippi, joined up with them, and decided that maybe for a break of pace, he would stick around and see what his employers were trying to set up here in terms of a new settlement. In terms of looks, he's about young 30s or early 30s, and he is a little bit on the taller side. He is obviously fit, but not excessively built by any means. If anything, maybe a little bit on the slender side. His clothes are tattered from having so much time on the trail with the caravans. But there are a few things about him that are meticulously kept. He keeps a sword on his waist that is kept very clean. On the other side of his waist, he has a revolver, which is upkept similarly. And he has long, dark hair that's drawn back that has obviously been well cared for and is, if anything, a little bit in stark contrast to the rest of his more ratty attire that he's been wearing while out on the road.
So Clark walks up on this scene and kind of sees this strong guy, kind of rockabilly type, and this kind of like scrawny little engineer guy sitting out there in this radio transmission tower with a building attached to it. What does Clark do?
Clark looks back and forth from the two of them sitting there, walks right past, says, "Excuse me," and taps the intercom. Says, "Hello, is anybody there?"
"Hello. What can do for you?"
"Oh, gosh. Okay, can you open the door for me, please?"
"Are you people? I need people."
"We are people, yes. I am a person, at least. I think these two are people."
"I think I qualify."
"I'm looking Crawlers. I'm looking. Crawlers. Crawlers. Love crawlers. How do I know if crawler?
Any of y'all know what he's talking about?
Is there any colloquial term for crawlers that I might know about?
So everyone knows that they are from the River Crawler Caravan. Everyone collectively knows that they are. That is the only crawler that you know about. There's a break in this confusion over this voice over the intercom. So May, why don't you introduce your character to the group?
My character's name is Hazel Greenglass. She's actually a human in her early 20s who had a fairly unusual upbringing considering it's post-apocalyptic out there. She grew up in the New California Republic as part of a Chautauqua traveling group, which is essentially like growing up as a permanent grad student mixed with a carny, essentially. So it's something that actually was, it was called the most American of American pastimes by, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt. So at the turn of the century, these were a big thing. And this group has attempted to bring it back. And they were traveling the fairly tamed West, where the New California Republic had brought a little bit of stability, and they'd go around, they'd do shows, they would teach people, they'd have lessons in schooling and talk about pre-war America and do, you know, even like fortune telling and knife juggling acts. And she grew up in this setting. And when she was old enough, she decided that she really wanted to go east and find something else, to learn to do something else with her skill set. She has, in some ways, she's very educated, and in other ways, she has not what she's in for. And she signed up with the River Crawlers basically because she was just desperate to see New Orleans that she'd always read about and heard about.
And what does she look like?
She's in her early 20s. She's actually fairly well-proportioned for a survivor, mostly because half the time the Chautauquas were actually paid in food instead of in caps. She has light blonde hair, and a fairly broad build for a woman.
So let's see. Hazel walks up to this scene of these, you know, three guys standing near the comm tower, the building attached. What does she do?
She leans over and says, "Hi, I believe we're the crawlers you're waiting for."
So you hear kind of this like crumbling sound. You hear this voice that says,
"Signal, not believe. This is crawlers. How would I know for a fact if crawler?"
Does the voice sound human or robotic or super mutiny?
It sounds like I am going to be doing the voices the best that I can. It sounds like an obnoxious radio announcer voice in a broken tone.
What proof do you require?
Could everyone tell me what part of the country from?
Old Nolans.
From the track.
Capital Wasteland.
From the New California Republic.
Excellent.
And then as soon as the voice kind of clicks off the intercom, you hear a buzzer kind of go off. And the door, the mechanical cylinders of the door turn, and the door falls down in the classic old war way that a lot of bunkers are in. Everybody, this is Dave. I'm the DM, GM, whatever you want to call me. It doesn't really matter. of the show, Rad Rolls. I really appreciate you taking the time and listening to our first episode. This is something I've never done before. I've done a few podcasts. You may have heard me from Vault Boys or Fallout Hub, but I mean, this is a brand new project, and I'm really excited that you're listening and hopefully enjoying. I want to do a few announcements and shout out a few things that we're doing. First thing I want to do is thank our cast. Cody, Jared, May, and Mike have all been super accepting over the project and really involved in building their characters and making the world a collaborative process that we're building together. Their availability and time mean the world to me, and I wouldn't be able to do any of this without them. As far as when episodes are released, they'll be released on most Fridays, unless there's a break or something gunks up in the machine somewhere. You're going to find an episode every Friday, in most cases. One thing I want to point out is that we are raising money for the New Orleans Children's Hospital through Extra Life. So that means you can go to the link in the description and find our Extra Life page. And there's a few special rewards that you can actually get. For $10, if you donate $10, we'll give you a shout out on the show around this time as kind of like a associate producer credit. That's kind of fun. Also at $40, if you donate $40 to our Extra Life campaign for the New Orleans Children's Hospital, you'll get to name a location or NPC after whatever you want. You can name it after yourself, like Carl, or, you know, you can name it Farty McFarkpants, whatever you really want. That being said, any ads that you hear on the show, we're actually going to reinvest that because it's impossible to split very, very small ad revenue five or six ways. I'm not even sure how many ways, but we're going to invest that into our Extra Life campaign and put our money where our mouth is. So if you hear an ad for, I don't know, men's grooming razors, that money is going to go towards Extra Life. What would really help us is if you could rate and review on iTunes and Spotify. If you like this show, go ahead, drop a rate or review. Please do 5 stars. If you're upset about something or there's something that I've missed, please feel free to reach out to me personally. I'm at Dave Chaffins on Twitter. The show is at Rad Rolls. Either one of those works. But a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify is perfect and really helps us get our name out there and raise more money for Extra Life, which is what we're trying to do. Speaking of social media, I want to talk to you a little bit about what you can expect from following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find all of that in the link in the show. We have a big link tree with pretty much everywhere that we are. There's going to be a few little interesting tidbits on those social media channels. We're going to have an updated map. We're going to be doing some character introductions for monsters, NPCs. It's kind of like the background source for tidbits about the making of the show. It's going to be really fun. We don't have an official website or anything, but we figure, having some curated social media that is actual pieces of content and kind of the making of the show would be really fantastic. So you're probably wondering in the first episode where this show is going to go. We're kind of laying the groundwork, getting our characters together, getting them a mission. I think sometime soon we'll do a combat encounter, which should be interesting. We're going to get better at the game rules as we go along. We're going to kind of get more of a cohesive flow. We're doing the best that we can. Since this is such a new game, there's no real, we don't have years of D&D to look at and say, okay, this is how you play this, or this is how you play that. We're learning as we're going. There's some new stuff that's also coming to the game that is not covered in Modiphius's Fallout the Role-Playing Game book, which is what we're playing. We're going to be adding a settlement building mechanic, settlement building situation. As we go forward in the game, the characters are going to be able to build different buildings and have different people occupy their settlement. It's kind of like collective town building. It's almost like they're building their own little world based on the people that they meet and things that they have. We're also going to incorporate a wacky or weird wasteland system for random encounters. So if you liked the, I think it started in Fallout New Vegas or one of, I think it was actually, I think Fallout 2 had it first. The wacky wasteland system kind of made it so strange things would happen that maybe broke the universe a little bit, like finding Indiana Jones references or
aliens or something like that. Like, that's where we're going to be pushing the bounds of the universe. But a lot of the consequences for those are going to be pretty low. They're not going to really affect the story as much. At least I hope they don't. The players could turn it into something else. But we're going to be doing that. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's some really strange things that I've kind of concocted for that. The campaign setting is going to be in southern Louisiana, so that means that New Orleans is going to be a big piece of it, or as it's called in the game, Old Nolens. So you'll be seeing our caravan head towards Old New Orleans in a future episode. With that, I'm going to get back to the show, get you back on track to where you need to be. If there's any more ads, this is where they'll play. But otherwise, I hope that you enjoy. Please leave us a review, and please follow us and tune in next Friday for another episode. Thank you all. So the door opens, and it's a dilapidated office space inside. There's a main desk that's still intact. There's kind of various makeshift projects. Maybe weapons, you're not quite sure. But it's adorning, like, every inch of this main desk area. Beside the desk, you see this, like, giant makeshift super sledge that has a bunch of blood on it. And you're like, okay. And then there's bunk beds that are pushed up against the windowed area. You can tell that there's like a divider almost through the middle of the comm station, that there's a whole other side to it, but there's bunk beds pushed up against it, and you can't see through that divider. Towards the back of the room, you see this kind of closed fridge. There's a giant pile of rancid meat beside it.
It's lovely. It's very rustic.
I'm gonna push on the divider to see how solid it is.
Okay, could you roll me a, I'm going to do difficulty one, strength and athletics.
Strength is 7, athletics 2.
Success, so you pass. So kind of like you're pushing on a piece of it kind of like breaks off. There's a big microphone that's sitting on one side of the room. You can't see anything else into the other side of the room, but about the time that you do that, a bunk bed slides across the floor. And this bunk bed is being pushed by a super mutant emerging from the next room. The super mutant is wearing a makeshift metal armor across his body with a scarf that's been fashioned into a traditional necktie. The super mutant says, signal like everyone here.
We like signal. Signal seems very nice.
Do you know radio?
I'm aware of it.
Yes.
I don't believe we've been introduced.
Oh, you haven't been with Signal? Signal loves people. Signal loves you. Signal want River Crawler to be big success. Big success, River Crawler. Big success, Super Mutant. Big success, Old Nolens.
Sounds wonderful.
Sounds big. Sounds big.
That all tracks.
Clark is from a region where super mutants aren't exactly friendly. So as soon as he saw the super mutant, he's very slyly has placed his hand on the hilt of his pistol, just in case.
Is that tension something that Lonnie might notice?
You can try. Just roll a perception. Do perception speech, actually, because you're not trying to conceal that, Clark.
I do get a success.
Okay, yeah, it was a difficulty 0. I forgot to say that. I'll get better at saying things when I mean them.
That's fun.
Yeah. So you notice that Clark is kind of like, because, and you kind of know from Brotherhood reports that out east, super mutants are not very friendly. That there are very few reports of friendly super mutants out east. So you notice that Clark kind of like tenses up a little bit in his body, seeing this strange talking super mutant emerge, pushing bunk beds with just one arm.
Yeah. As long as Pep and Hazel are speaking with Signal, I'm going to lean in close to Clark and just kind of whisper to him, now is not the time to draw iron. We'll talk later, but we're good here.
I'll say back to him, you know, I've heard about so-called friendly mutants before, but I had never really believed it. I think I'll just keep my wits about me from now.
That's fine, but just so you know, this might not be the place.
So Signal goes over to the end of the room, kind of grabs his hammer and is kind of twirling it between his fingers. So imagine a super mutant twirling a super sledge between their fingers. Like, it's very clear. It's very clear that Signal is not just a super mutant, but pretty strong for a super mutant if he's able to do that. Signal looks at the group and says, settlement here is good. Who is mayor?
Any volunteers? Anyone?
At this point, Clark is hair trigger. He's a little concerned about what he's watching. So he's stiff as a board and just watching intently at every move this super mutant is making.
So Hazel is fascinated. Hazel's never actually seen a super mutant before. But she's heard about them. She's heard about the different types of super mutants. And she's just sort of soaking it all in. But she does sort of say, well, Signal, aren't you? Why aren't you the mayor? You were here first.
Pep gives Hazel a look at that. A little cringe at Hazel.
She didn't notice it.
I think Clark broke his gaze for a hot sec to take a double take when Hazel said that.
So Signal, while he's twirling his super sledge, he presses a button on it, and the there's like a pressurized hammer at the top that's kind of like beating back and forth. That's kind of like almost in like a chugging motion, and you realize that there's like some like pretty advanced weaponry. That he is just kind of like messing around with for fun. Seems like in a jovial mood he's doing his little super mutant smile, doing his situation. And Signal looks at Hazel and says, Signal, stay here. Signal, no decision. Signal do station. Signal talk to everyone. Signal can't mayor. No mayor, no signal. Signal name, not mayor. If signal name mayor, he may.
Again, tracks.
Can't argue with that logic. Can't argue with that.
Sounds about right.
I think Lonnie's wheels are turning here.
So I will pause you all and tell you that you all have been sent a letter from the River Crawler Caravan. You're tasked with creating a settlement to generate trade. And if you do that, you're going to get paid. So that's kind of like your prior knowledge of this situation. Signal, it seems like, is asking a lot of you all in this moment.
I would say it sounds like we need to find a mayor.
Signal takes his super sledge and yanks it out and directs it at everyone in the room and says, one mayor or all mayor.
Quick question for Signal before we continue here. We did note that when we entered, the super sledge did have blood on it, correct? I would like to ask Signal, whose blood is on that super sledge?
Signal takes the super sledge and kind of licks it and says, Krabby Krab.
Okay, well, who, any one of us want to be mayor, or do we all want to be mayor?
The wheels are turning in Lonnie's head right now. Because if Lonnie was sent here to be a liaison on behest of the Brotherhood of Steel, how nice it would be to be able to report back to the Brotherhood of Steel that they have someone in a leadership role at this location.
Right, and Lonnie is the local. So he'd probably be the best choice. Mm-hmm.
But Lonnie, on the other hand, is thinking, like, do I really want this amount of responsibility on my shoulders?
And Lonnie is wearing a field scribe uniform, correct?
Yeah. The field scribe uniform comes on when he needs to, but there's something about just the clean white t-shirt and just like the clean fatigue pants that Lonnie likes, mainly because he's very rarely, if ever, had clean clothes in his life. So, like, the color white Lonnie loves because it's just sort of like this proof that what I'm wearing right now is clean. So, yeah, probably since we're on official business, he's probably got the scribe robes on.
As Pep would defer to Lonnie as a man in uniform. Like, Pep would know enough to be like, you're clearly in some sort of organization. So probably you'd be the best.
Oh. Okay. I mean, or this could be a joint effort. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, yeah, you barely know. You saw me dump my foot in a puddle. That was your first impression. I mean, like, I don't. And you're about to make me mayor of this thing, okay?
Well, to be fair, you'd be mayor of a radio station run by a super mutant. I think you could probably handle that pressure at this point.
Yeah. He seems pretty autonomous, so.
Well, when we used to, back in California, when we used to travel in Chautauquas, whoever knew the area the best was usually the person who'd be leading during any time we were traveling around. So, you know, I'll defer to you, absolutely, since you seem to be a little bit more familiar with the terrain and the surroundings.
And then, you know, maybe Lonnie's getting a little nervous and he looks at Clark and like, and where are you from again?
Now, look, don't be looking at me. I am here as a hired gun. I am not about to run any type of situation where I got to be listening to this guy at any point to the super mutant.
At this point, Signal kind of breaks the conversation and goes, "Ah, communism," and then grabs some like what looks like paper, maybe used to be paper. And throws a few sheets on the desk and then reaches, walks over to the fridge. And there's that rancid meat pub beside it. And he reaches in there and he pulls out a Mirelurk claw and throws it down on the desk with the sheet of paper and says, "Vote, put name in fridge. If name, then mayor."
Oh, so but this is a democracy. Okay. All right.
So it's direct democracy. Well, all right.
Signal, do you get a vote?
Signal doesn't vote. Signal is here for different thing. He loves radio. Excuse me. Signal loves radio. Signal do radio good. Signal not mayor. Signal can't mayor. But maybe Signal could vote. Signal takes the piece of paper, and he... he takes the Mirelurk claw and just kind of like scratches it across the surface and breaks the paper, and looks pretty happy about it and runs over to the fridge and puts this like ripped bloody piece of paper in the fridge. And he takes his super sledge he's been carrying it and gestures it at Clark and says, "Next."
Clark takes the piece of paper, writes down the name, and without ever taking eyes off the super mutant, places it in the fridge.
What name did you write down, Clark?
He wrote down Lonnie.
Is that, did people see you do that, or do you want to sneak around and do that, or did you just...
He very carelessly writes it in front of everybody. Okay. He already kind of expressed that he doesn't have interest in it, and it seemed like the rest of the group was already trying to convince him, and it seems like a fine enough idea for him at the time.
So when you go and you put the note in the fridge and close the door, and as you do that, Signal reaches out and pats you on the head. and I need you to roll a hang on one second. I need you to roll agility plus speech.
So agility for Clark is an 8 and 4.
Oh, and that's a difficulty 1.
A 3 and a 7. So 2 successes.
Signal reaches out and almost like tries to pat you on the head. But you kind of like you're all like skeeved out. You're all like,
I'm not
this is a weird situation. And so when he goes to like pat you on the head, you like dodge it. And Signal, when you dodge it, looks a little sad. But Signal doesn't say anything. Signal doesn't do anything. Signal just looks a little sad and kind of smiles, but it's not like a, it doesn't look good. It's not a very, you know, it's a really hard smile that Signal puts on and kind of looks at you with. I guess the next person, though, is up for a vote, whoever goes next. I will say Hazel.
I'm going to say she actually has a little piece of pencil, a nub of pencil on her, that she pulls out of one of the pockets of her outfit. And she actually writes Lonnie in cursive with a little tiny heart over the eye and folds it up and walks over to put it in the refrigerator.
And Pep, why don't you go next?
Pep asks Hazel if he can borrow her pencil.
Of course. Here you go.
All right. Thank you. And then Lonnie, how do you spell your name?
L-O... N-N-I-E, God.
So Pep writes down Lonnie and puts in the refrigerator.
I think duty requires me to put my own name in there per Brotherhood of Steel protocol. So as a scribe, a Brotherhood of Steel scribe would probably have like data pads and stuff. I don't know if they would actually have a writing utensil. I'll use, when in Rome, I'll use the Death Claw.
Myler claw.
Myler claw, and I'll just dip that in whatever passes as ink around here.
That'd be blood.
Yeah, yep. And just scrawl Lonnie, and blow on it, and then fold it and put it in the fridge.
You put the note in the fridge, and Signal kind of stands there and looks at you all silently, and waits. And then he's silent, it's kind of awkward, but he pulls up his wrist like he's wearing a watch, but he's not wearing a watch. Time's up. And he opens the fridge and pulls out the papers. And he says, Signal Count Mayor. He grabs the first piece of paper, and it's his ripped piece of paper. And he kind of looks at it. And looks up at you all and does that really hard grin that's like kind of scary, but also like kind of sincere. You're not quite sure. And he throws it to the side. And he reads Lonnie, next piece of paper, Lonnie, next piece of paper, Lonnie, next piece of paper, Lonnie. And he takes his super sledge and says, Lonnie, come here.
Okay.
Signal says, kneel.
I take a knee.
Signal takes his super sledge and rests it on your shoulder and says, May your Lonnie. And as he takes it from one shoulder, he takes it to the other shoulder. It seems like a hard motion, and I'm going to need you to roll endurance plus... I'm going to call this athletics. Difficulty 0.
That might actually be 4 successes. Because I rolled a 2 and a 2. My endurance is 6. My athletics is 2.
Yeah. So you get 4 AP, which is great. And when he lays the super sledge on you and your other shoulder, Signal is doing that really weird hard grin, and you feel the pressure of it. Like, if like you have this scrawny body, but like this somehow feels good to you. You feel good about the weight of the super sledge.
It's the personification of like duty and honor and stuff resting upon my shoulders, and I'm somehow having the spiritual. I'm having the spiritual moment of.
Next, Signal takes your hand and holds you up, and then Signal grabs you and starts dragging you. And I need you to roll a
difficulty 2, strength plus melee weapons.
Sure. So can I use one of those AP to add a D20 to this? Because
you can do whatever you want.
Oh, wow, one of those games, huh? So I'm doing strength melee, and I'm going to use one of those AP to sling 3 dice here. And regretfully, that's only 1 success.
Signal drags you by your scrawny body into the other room, away from everyone else, and says, Signal kind of looks at you and says, "Mayor, thank you. Love, Mayor." Signal reaches into a drawer that seems like it's filled with electrical equipment and takes out a Pip-Boy and slaps it onto your wrist. Nobody here is wearing a Pip-Boy. You know what Pip-Boys are from your experience in Old Nolans.
Yeah.
He slaps a Pip-Boy onto you and takes it and he locks it. And you realize this is impossible to remove. You cannot remove this. It is so hard on there and locked in. It's like it's been melted in some way. You now have a Pip-Boy on your person. At this point, Signal looks at you and says, "Does Mayor need help?"
Let me get back to you on that. There's a lot to do and a lot to discuss, and I don't want to keep you from your radio duties.
Signal goes, "Okay." And Signal lets go of your hand and stands there and does like this huge, just like even a worse smile. Like you can see all of his gums. At this point, if you couldn't see his gums, you can see them now. They are all there. They are yellowish, brownish, and they look absolutely terrible. And you're pretty sure you see a bug peek out of one of them.
Well, Signal, I think I'll be assessing the area for locations and, you know, meetings, agendas, you know, just a bunch of stuff going on right now, but we'll be around, I promise.
Signal looks pretty happy with your response and says, "Signal need help. Signal wants clean outside. Signal tried clean outside. Signal can't clean outside. Signal needs outside clean."
What needs cleaned outside, Signal?
Signal try clean. Dirty, dirty outside. Make vermin outside. Clean outside. Then Signal can help get next thing. You need, and he's like going through this like computer that he has. And the computer has kind of these buttons on it that are big enough so that when he mashes his fists on the computer, it's doing something. You can't really tell what's happening on the screen, but it seems like that there's been some modifications to this computer. And Signal's kind of mashing around, and Signal is looking at the screen with his big grin and then turns around and looks at you and says, "Water purifier."
Like you need one, or we have like
Signal looks at you and says, "If he looks at you and he says, Signal," and he holds up his finger and it's really fat, and he says, "Signal 1. And he says, "You 4. And then he says, "If more," and then he puts both of his hands together, and you see all 10 of his chubby little fingers all out there like they're little finger trolls. Need water. And he looks at you and says, "No water, no good. But Signal knows Vault has purifier. You get purifier, you get water, you get people."
Again, that tracks. You are a trusted advisor, Signal.
Signal, love. And he kind of like is thinking to himself, and he's Lani. Lani hee hee. Lani love Lani.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, So you said there's a rat problem around here too, correct?
Signal says, clean outside, vermin. Go Lonnie. Lonnie Mayor. Love Mayor.
Well, the mayor has work to do. You keep on keeping on, Signal.
Signal takes a super sledge and kind of like hits it on the ground a few times and says, adjourned.
Thank you, Bailiff.
So you've been in a separate room this whole time. You've been in an opposite room that is soundproof. What you've noticed in the room is it is a literal recording studio with like makeshift equipment that's been added onto. It looks like it's ready for radio. So you're in that room right now. And going through the door, you would be in the previous location with the desk with all of the makeshift various things, the fridge with the rancid meat, and like the Meyer Lurk claw that's laying out on the table.
Folks, I've seen some stuff. Let's go outside for a minute.
Ark looks up from the letter that he has from the caravan company that he's been furiously reading to see if it mentioned at all that he was going to be dealing with a super mutant upon arrival at the new site. And he looks up and notices the Pip-Boy on his arm and says, anything on that from our employers to explain exactly what we're doing here and why we're taking orders from this super mutant?
I'll be honest, this Pip-Boy is like the third most confusing thing that I heard in that room. So, let's cabinet meeting outside. By the way, you're on the cabinet.